This land is your land. This land is mine. From California to New York, from the redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good evening, everybody. This is Basma Farhat, the host of the People Speak radio show. This is a special show tonight. We're coming on a Friday night as opposed to our regular Tuesday night show, but we felt this was a worthy conversation. For me, this is a tribute to the power of the Internet, of bloggers, of grassroots radio shows such as the People Speak radio. This particular, our guest tonight is Representative Harold Dutton. He chairs the House Juvenile Justice Committee in Texas and recently supported the efforts to free Shaquanda Cotton, a Paris, Texas African-American teen who was sentenced to up to 7 years in juvenile prison for pushing a teacher's aide at Paris High School in 2005. This is, now just remember the date here, it's 2005. This has been over a year coming. Shaquanda's case has shined a spotlight on thousands of other juveniles incarcerated throughout Texas's juvenile detention system, which is now under review. This thing has really literally been blown wide open by this case. Shaquanda's particular case highlights a problem in the town, what is looking like a very serious problem in the town of Paris, Texas. Where in the 1920s, in this particular town, lynching and burning black men in the Paris fairgrounds was viewed as some kind of a public event by thousands of white people. The media attention in this case has been spotlighted by all the local and statewide radio, newspaper, and TV in Texas, and because of the Internet, this case, which is more than 1 year old, has been revived by activists in the town of Paris, as well as activists on the Internet. Calls, emails, and faxes to the state representative, to Governor Rick Perry of Texas, as well as Judge Chuck Superville of Paris, who is the deciding judge in Shaquanda's case, have come from as far away as Australia and the United Kingdom. A newspaper in Brazil carried the story on Shaquanda's case. And the entire effort by Shaquanda Cotton's supporters is an example of how online bloggers, homegrown campaigns and activism is just the absolute best that we can do. Welcome to our show, sir. Representative, it's wonderful having you.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I look forward to talking with you, and perhaps we can do this more often.
Well, I sure hope so. Representative Dutton, can you tell us exactly what your role is as in your position in Texas, and what exactly does this entail?
Well, I'm a member of the Texas House of Representatives, and as a member, I was appointed by the Speaker to serve as chair of the House Juvenile Justice and Family Issues Committee. My committee has responsibility for all the juvenile laws, essentially, that take place in the state of Texas on the juvenile side, and then we do on the other side. We have responsibility for all the family law matters that take place in Texas. The Texas Youth Commission, however, has sort of a dual reporting relationship to both me and to the Committee on Corrections, as we call it. That's the committee that's chaired by Jerry Madden, and it has reporting to it both the adult prison system and the juvenile prison system, which we refer to as Texas Youth Commission, or TYC, in another name. And so essentially that's what my role is, and we take a look at all of the laws and how juveniles come into our system, why they come into our system, how many of them happen to be in our system. And we have now moved beyond that, because now we're investigating not only why they're there, but in some cases, many cases rather, I should say, there are juveniles in our system who we found out don't belong in our system. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Under Texas law, a juvenile who's committed to the Texas Youth Commission is committed there till their 21st birthday. irrespective of how old they are when they're sentenced. I mean, because we can be sentenced in Texas at 10 or 11 years old to the Texas Youth Commission. In that case, if you were 10, let's say, you could, that means your commitment to TYC could be for 11 years because you'd be 21 years of age, and we could let you, we would have to let you out.
So there are children as young as 12 in these detention centers?
Unfortunately, the answer is yes. Yeah, there are juveniles who are 10, 11, and 12 who show up in our system. And it is amazing because what's more amazing about it is the way we treat them when we take them in there. Because one of the things this has done is it's shined a bright light on our system now, and we're beginning to take a look at whether or not, you know, some of the policies and practices that have gone on in the system for so long, whether they really benefit Texans and whether they certainly benefit these juveniles, because we've determined that in many cases they don't. For example, we house all the juveniles together, and it may be an 11-year-old, for example, who has done some minor offense, but that person is thrown in, that juvenile is thrown in, with somebody who probably committed an aggravated robbery, for example. And so we had not been making those changes. However, now things have changed. We have started down a road of taking a look at this system to see whether or not we can improve on it, and I can tell you that we've already started on yesterday. As of yesterday, I think after Shaquanda Cotton was released, we've had almost 600 juveniles released from our system who have returned back home. And so we're taking a look at all of that.
Now, this is an unprecedented situation in Texas that's going on.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I might give you just a little background, too.
Has there ever been in any time in the history of the country where so many people have been released from incarceration so quickly?
If it is, I don't know of it. It's never happened in Texas now. It may well have happened in other states, but I don't think it's ever happened in Texas. I'm going to give you a little background on our system. TYC has about 13 juvenile facilities that amount to jail, amount to prisons, okay, that are run by the Texas Youth Commission. They have a board. They had a board, rather, and that board was about a nine-member board, and then they had an executive director and all, of course, the complement of people all the way down to the JCOs, which you call juvenile correction officers. These 13 facilities, though, and this is where the legislature comes in and playing a part in some of this stuff. The Texas legislature decided to locate these facilities in some of the most remotest, out-of-the-way places that you could have in Texas. I would venture to say that most people couldn't find most of these places on the map, and they certainly, if you gave them a car, they couldn't find them in 3 or 4 weeks. And that's how remote some of them are. As a consequence, most of these juveniles are disconnected, first of all, from their families. They receive very little in the way of any family attention, and if they do, it's at some extreme burden and cost to the family. The second thing that happens is that these juveniles don't receive the kind of professional treatment that, in many cases, they need, because even the professionals don't and can't get up to some of these remote locations. Thirdly, and perhaps more importantly, It is located, and these places are located where some of these juveniles, even their cries for help, can't be heard. And so,
now,
as a consequence,
from my understanding, Representative Dutton, not only have their cries not been heard, but they're falling on deaf ears. They're falling on the very ears of the people that have the power to keep them incarcerated till they're 21.
Well, unfortunately, that's true. In fact, we have had several times in my committee, for example, we've had the person who was in charge, the executive director, who is no longer there, who has resigned as a result of all of this, and I think
as a matter of fact, I've heard that the entire board has resigned.
Well, they were fired. The entire board fired because I had, I've been the chair of this committee for 2 sessions now, and I had never seen the board nor ever heard from them. We had invited them to testify before our committee. The only person who shows up in most cases was the legal guy and the executive director. The executive director kept assuring us that things were running fairly smoothly. That he did have a problem, though, because one of the other 4 things that I failed to mention in terms of the problem related to the location of these facilities is the ability to track trained and qualified JCOs, juvenile corrections officers, as we call them. Many of these places we have now, the juvenile, the ratio of guards to juveniles was totally out of whack, and yet we were never advised of any of that. We would make visits to some of these facilities, and they would, you know, clean up things pretty well and basically had them hidden from most people. The problem came to light, however, when we had more it came before that, actually. It came because we had a location out in West Texas called Piute, Texas now. As I understand, I've never been to Piute, but it's somewhere between El Paso and Midland, Texas, and you can probably get there quicker through New Mexico. That's how remote it is. And there were all kinds of allegations coming out of that facility that the people in charge out there were having sex with the juveniles. And, in fact, that resulted in a Texas Ranger going out there to visit, to inspect and investigate. And, in fact, he confirmed many of these reports were true. And so then he proceeded trying to get people prosecuted for them by going to the local county DA. The DA sat on it and never pursued it. As a consequence, the people who were running the facility, who were involved in all these allegations, quit, resigned, or got transferred someplace else. And only recently has all this come to light.
Can I ask you, Representative,
sure,
who are these people that we are putting our children in their hands?
Well,
what are the qualifications that these people are required to have? I don't think that assaulting children, and I don't care what anybody says, under the age of 21, the majority of these kids are in there are children.
Correct.
And these children are being
assaulted. I couldn't agree more. I think that in looking at this system, one of the things that this agency has now been placed under what we call conservatorship, it's almost like a bankruptcy, because now the governor has finally appointed one person to oversee this whole facility, not just the facility, but the whole commission, the Texas Youth Commission itself. That person has gone in. What we found were some things that were interesting. First of all, we found the provision in their rules that allowed ex-felons to be hired in the system. Now, I have no problem with ex-felons, except this was totally wrong in terms of the people that we were allowed to go into these systems and work. Because in some cases, people had prior sex offenses, and yet they were allowed to go work around many of these
and around children, which is an amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
Profoundly arrogant of our countrymen, of the people in our administrations. I just think that it is so profoundly arrogant to not be. Why are we letting this happen?
Well, the unfortunate thing, and I tell you this because I think the legislature has a big role to play in what happened. But I tell you this because I'm afraid, well, not afraid. I'm not afraid of most things. And I can tell you what I think. I looked at the children, who these children were, the color of these children, and because the majority of them are black and brown, I think many people wrote them off as throwaways. And that's hard for me to say, but I think it points in that direction.
Well, this is the problem here. You know, I have to tell you, a little bit before the show, I had my grandsons here. They're young boys, and I presented this. I said, boys, I want to talk to you about this. I want to talk to you about the show I'm going to be doing tonight, and I want to ask your opinion. And I explained to them the scenario, and I was very trite. I was not. I tried not to influence them in any way, shape, or form to the scenario. And all I did was present the case of Shaquanda. I also presented the case of the young 14-year-old girl that had burned down the house. And I said, now I want you boys to tell me, what do you think? And my 10-year-old grandson looked at me, and he said, Tata, he says, that's called segregation. It's called discrimination. And I said, why do you think it's called that? And he said, because she's black.
Yes.
Now, this is a 10-year-old. So, obviously, we're not far off as adults when we're sitting here saying that this has to do with the color of these children's skin.
Well, that's what I think, and I agree with your 10-year-old grandson. I think that because these kids were who they are, people look the other way. In fact, the man who was the executive director was a black man who came to our committee on numerous occasions, came to my office, looked me in the eye, and said, "Mr. Dutton, I guarantee you none of this is happening. We are taking care of this, and we are looking at this." The unfortunate thing is he was wrong, and I was wrong for even taking his advice or taking his testimony as something credible. I can tell you that now, and I say that on behalf of the whole legislature who is now trying to clean this mess up. But the problem is that we have actually destroyed, in my opinion, a whole lot of lives, not to mention the families themselves, but more especially the juveniles.
The scary thing is, Representative, knowing the cycle of violence and knowing how violence perpetuates violence, when we are taking these children, putting them into the streets, no matter what we say, there comes a point at 21 where they are legally released, and if I'm not mistaken, a lot of this stuff is taken off of their records.
The record is sealed, yeah.
The record is sealed. Once that happens, these children are in the streets, and they're angry children. They are not children. They are not well children, and they are rightfully angry if this is what's been going on in our system. Now, this issue of Shaquanda Cotton coming about was so profound. It was beyond anything. But now, here we're finding that so many other children have fallen in this system. Shaquanda and Creola Cotton, are you with us?
This is Creola.
Hello,
yes,
Creola.
Yes, Cotton, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Okay.
It's wonderful having you with us this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Shaquanda and Creola Cotton on the line with us tonight. Shaquanda, can you say hello to our audience?
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah,
it's
hi,
wonderful
Shaquanda.
Having
how are
you?
You
here, dear.
Can
you try to speak up just a little bit, Shaquanda?
Yes.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good, this is Representative Dutton in Houston.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and things going okay for you so far?
Mm-hmm, and I want to thank you for reviewing my case and allowing me to come home.
Well, I just knew it was time, Shaquanda. It was past time for you to come home.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I looked at the record, I can tell you, but I thought, you know, as a child growing up, I can tell you that sometimes things, adults aren't nearly as smart as children sometimes, Shaquanda.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes adults make stupid mistakes. And I can tell you, in your case, I believe that's what we've done.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad you're home, and I'm dedicating myself to helping you erase all this out of the past.
Yeah.
And to see if we can't look back on this and say, gosh, you know, these were difficult times, but Shaquanda made it, and now she's doing all the great things for herself, for her family, and for this country.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Shaquanda, it's wonderful having you on our show. And one thing I'd like to remind Shaquanda, I think sometimes, and this is something that we forget, that our children can teach us a lot, and I think, Shaquanda, you can teach us many things about what happens when the system doesn't work for children. And I think that we can all learn to speak out, and that you are a great voice for this world, Shaquanda. And welcome home, honey. We're glad that you're home. Bless you. Bless your family.
And I think, Shaquanda, all these other people's children who are going to be released from TYC owe a big thank you to Shaquanda Cotton, because I think your story is one that has touched the hearts and minds of just about everybody I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
And as a consequence, it's made us take a very hard look at TYC and look at juveniles who don't belong in there and start to get them out of there. And so I think I want you to know that in my mind and in the minds of a whole lot of other people, Shaquanda Cotton is really the hero in this old story.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, and we applaud you, Shaquanda. There are a lot of people here that are in our virtual auditorium that are just absolutely crying right now because they are so, so thrilled that you are home with your family.
Oh, okay.
Is your mother Creole there?
Yes.
May I speak to her, please?
Yes, thank you.
I know, this is kind of an interesting thing. I would like to congratulate her mother, I'm sure, for a job well done, Creola.
Yes.
Welcome to the
parents have to do a lot, too. I mean, when you lock a kid up, you lock a parent up, at least one parent, if not two. And I'm sure Ms. Cotton has lived every day inside that facility with Shaquan. And so, Ms. Cotton, I just want to tell you thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for sharing this story with us. And thank you certainly for hanging in there to the point where we can now begin to make the changes that are necessary so that this doesn't happen again.
Yes, that's right. It's been 1 year that
it's been a total nightmare because I'm sure it has, Ms. Cotton. I just want to say that my office will be contacting you because we want to take this beyond where it is and see if we can provide some other assistance that may help Shaquanda kind of move beyond all this. How are things in Paris, Texas?
Are you going to be going to Paris at any time?
Yes, we're planning a trip. In fact, there are several legislators and myself. We've been talking and discussing the idea of us going up to Paris. We're in session at the moment. The session is just about winding down. And what we're talking about discussing at the moment is at the end of the session, we would all get together and come to Paris and hold a hearing and kind of talk about and listen to some of the people in Paris, talk about things that are going on in Paris to see to what extent we need to intervene and what extent we need to get other agencies of government to intervene in Paris.
Let me ask you, Creola, what is going to happen now? Now that you have Shaquanda home, what is the process? What's going on in her life right now, and what are you expected to do?
Well, right now she's being homeschooled because I don't want to put her back in the same situation that led her to TYC, which would be Paris High School. So
okay.
We're planning to homeschool, and I have help doing that. And from there, she plans on going and getting her GED and going on into college. Those are the plans we have made this far.
As far as her incarceration over the last year, is Shaquanda being offered any kind of psychological aid?
Before her release, I had been talking with a psychologist in Dallas, and I'm planning on following up with her. She did an evaluation of Shaquanda when Shaquanda was at Marlin, the orientation unit, and we talked about getting some sessions set up once she got home.
Okay. Now, Ms. Cotton, I just heard on a couple of days ago, was there some police or incident regarding where the police were outside your home or something?
Well, the evening, Saturday evening, when I brought Shaquanda home from TYC, there were two police cars who parked just right below my house, and then they circled through a few times. And my son said that they had been kind of posted up around the neighborhood where I live off and on all that day.
Were they there?
I don't know. I don't really know why they were here. I really don't think I heard that,
and I think my office tried to call you because I was trying to confirm whether or not that was the case, because I was hoping to talk to the local law enforcement authorities and see whether that was true.
Yeah.
But I think one of the other legislators called and said he had not been able to make that determination yet.
Was Shaquanda incarcerated for you?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
How long was Shaquanda incarcerated?
She was about a year and 2 weeks.
so it was over a year. Now, is she on probation right now? Or
she's on parole.
She's on parole.
And I think that's for a couple of months or something.
What does that mean to a young person of 15?
Well, generally what happens when a juvenile leaves the PYC, there is some period in which they're placed on parole. They generally will give you certain conditions that you have to follow on that parole. But as I understand, one of the things that was discussed in terms of Shaquanda was placing her on parole in order to try to keep her in the system to get her some help related to all of the things that may have transpired during the time while she was in the system. Now, as I understand it, Ms. Cotton, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what I was told is that that was going to be like a 90-day parole. Is that what they told you?
Well, at first I was told it was to be 2 months. But
okay.
When the parole officer came out, he said it's for a year.
Okay. Well, I can guarantee you.
Perhaps Sharon, I believe we have with us Sharon Reinerson and Brenda Cherry. Sharon is the attorney for Shaquanda, and Brenda Cherry is an activist that has helped instigate a lot of the action that's been going on in Shaquanda's case. Welcome, ladies.
Hello. Let me clarify, I'm not her appellate attorney, and I didn't represent her in the juvenile matter. I represented her with the school district over the years.
Oh, I see. So it was with the school district that you had worked with her, Sharon?
Yes, I represented her against the school district in her grievances and whatnot. And I helped with the mediation with the Department of Justice and the school district and the Department of
What's
Education.
What's going on, Sharon, with the school district right now in regards to Shaquanda's case and any of the issues of discrimination or racism that have been going on in the school? From my understanding, there's been a lot of issues with the school itself, even prior to Shaquanda being arrested.
Oh, yes.
What were some of the things that were happening in the school, Sharon?
Well, with Shaquanda, or just some of the ways that she was treated in school and some of the write-ups she would get, they would not be accurate, and some would be very exaggerated and embellished. She just had a real hard time, and it eventually led to a lot of anxiety and nerve problems for Shaquanda.
Well, I understand this is Harold Benton. I understand the Department of Education. He is actually reviewing several matters in Paris, Texas, related to education and the treatment of black students in the town. Is that accurate or not?
That is accurate. They did do a compliance review when Ms. Terry and Ms. Cotton filed initial complaints in 2002 or 3. And they reviewed the records for those years and found that there was not sufficient evidence to show any discrimination. But for the numbers, the large percentage of the children that were disciplined, the larger number would always be the black children by quite a bit. If you look just at the numbers, you have to assume that either black children are just start with a premise that black children are just bad, or that they discipline them more strictly and more often than they do the white children.
Sharon, are there any actions being considered in the case of Shaquanda with the school?
Our office and several other attorneys are trying to get together and see what we can file. You know, all these agencies, including mine, have a lot of restrictions by the legal services corporations of what we can and cannot do. And so we all have to kind of get together and see what we can help each other with and what we can participate in.
Let me ask Brenda. Brenda, welcome to the People Speak.
Thank you.
If you ladies would please just speak up just a little bit, it would help our listeners. Brenda, how did you get involved in Shaquanda's story in her life?
Back in 2002, Creola and I, both of our children went to PISD, and we noticed that they, Shaquanda started getting written up for minor things that were blown out of proportion. And we noticed that the black kids were mostly the ones sitting in OCS, and some of the teachers were calling the black kids stupid and lazy, and so there were just several issues. And I went to the NAACP to try to get some assistance, and I was not given the help I needed. So we formed an organization, and after that, different parents would come to us to ask us to go to the school with them or help them file complaints or what have you. And so after we started doing that, some of the school staff grew angry with us. And so eventually I had to remove my son from the school because they started writing him up a lot. And so they ended up arresting Shaquanda. And at first, you know, I blamed myself because in her trial, all they talked about were her mother filing complaints, and I had filed complaints, and we participated in a protest. So I think Creola and I both felt at first that it was our fault. You know, they couldn't get us, so they got our children.
Now, let me ask all of you, and I'd really like your opinion, of, Creola, especially you as a mother. You know, we do have to understand the nature of a lot of the schools today. There is fear. There are children that are acting out. There are children that are violent. There are episodes of violence that cannot be completely denounced. We can't sit here and pretend to ourselves that there are not these issues in our school systems. Obviously, after Columbine and all of the other school events that we have had that have been so horrific and have brought down so much pain and tragedy in our in the lives of Americans today, you know, we can't completely discount the fact that children have to adhere to. How do you differentiate? Representative, what is the, how do we, is it a case of, okay, she shoved somebody and she should have been punished, which absolutely, I mean, it is not acceptable for anybody to touch anybody else. Obviously, 7 years is just a ridiculous position. And when, now that we know that the system was basically run on a corrupt system, that's a scary thing. So what do you do when in a situation like that? Where's the, what are the, and I'd like to ask each of you, how you feel and how do, how do administrators in our school systems deal with children without without destroying their psyches, without destroying their credibility as human beings, whether black, white, or purple? How do you deal with something like that, Representative?
Well, let me say first, too, I want Ms. Cotton and the other lady whose name I didn't get, I want them not to feel like they're at fault in this, because they have every right to complain about situations that occur within that parish and within the school district that they perceive to be a problem. That should never result in their children being retaliated against simply because the parents choose to try to make a system responsive to a child. Now, having said that, let me move on. In Texas, we simply have done things that, in my way of thinking, that absolutely are wrong. For example, we have what we call the zero tolerance policy with regard to most of our schools in Texas. What it means is simply this: is that for any violation, we don't even look at anything except whether it happens. In a place where you think, well, I believe that thinking ought to be at its highest, and certainly that's in an educational setting, it seems to be at its lowest, because what happens is we have some of these, when the legislature, we have passed laws that we rely on school districts to implement. School districts, in many cases, have implemented these laws in certain ways that really have me wondering whether or not we should not just pass law. We should tell them how to respond to it as opposed to giving them a law. Let me tell you why. In Texas, we have a situation now where children as young as 8 and 9 years old can be written tickets, Class C misdemeanor tickets, for violations that are not violations of law but happen to be only violations of the student code of conduct. I mean, and that came from the legislature.
I believe in one case, I recall reading in one case, representative, that a 5-year-old boy was ticketed for splashing in a mud puddle.
Well, that can happen in Texas, and that's what many of us have been trying to change, because I do not believe you can change a 5-year-old from being a 5-year-old. I don't care what kind of laws you have and what kind of tickets you write, but it makes no sense. It is a absolutely absurd policy when we permit that to happen. And so there's a number of bills, even during this session, that are designed to change that. I think more especially, I think that we are building a system where children we breed a disrespect for the law. Because when we have all these aberrations and things that shouldn't happen in the law happen, for example, in Jaquanda's case, there was clearly alternative ways to deal with this, even if the facts are not as I know them to be. Because as I understand, Jaquanda and a teacher's aide got into a shoving match over permitting her to come into the school. It seems to me, however, that one of the things that played a role in the punishment of Jaquanda had to do with the mother and the mother's activism around trying to help improve the school district. That should never happen. But again, in a town...
Let me ask you something, and I think perhaps Sharon I hope you will have an answer for me, too. From my understanding is that had Jaquanda admitted guilt, then that would have caused great harm to her case. And if the case was faulty to begin with, such as sentencing a child to up to 7 years for shoving someone else, which was not acceptable. No one wants to ever allow anyone to think that they have the right to place their hands and push anybody away unless it's in self-defense. But what I'm saying here is that if she had admitted guilt in detention, that would have actually harmed her case. And because her case was ridiculous.
Well, that's because in TYC they had what they call the resocialization policy, which I think has been canned by now, and that's a good thing, because as I said when I found out about it, I said, well, what does that mean? It says, well, the juvenile has to admit guilt for whatever the offense that person has been accused of. I said, well, suppose the juvenile thinks he or she is still not guilty despite what may have been said in a court or by a judge. They said, well, but the juvenile still has to admit it. I said, that makes absolutely no sense. Let me tell you what also doesn't make sense. If there had been two students, if Jaquanda and another student had been engaged in some physical conduct, okay, under the way we have treated the law, they both would have been punished. They both would have been punished. Now, I don't know whether or not the teacher in this case was ever punished for anything.
No.
But if you under the zero tolerance policy and the implementation thereof, if a child is under Texas state law the way we have it, there's no such thing as self-defense. You can't even provide any defense if a student is engaging in a physical assault. You have to get a teacher, because then both students get punished. Now, obviously, in Chaponda's case, I'm told rather that the teacher was also attempting to physically handle Jaquanda. And if that's the case, then the teacher should have had some punishment coming, just as we would if it were two students. And so I think that there's a whole lot of light that's got to be shined on this before we...
Well, absolutely. And obviously this case has really done that, and I have a feeling, and if I know anything about the way this type of scandal type thing works, it tends to grow.
Look at what
happened with Abu Ghraib. One small statement led to an unbelievable, and I think that we still don't know the full length and breadth of that. Sharon,
no, we don't know how many other Shaquandas are there.
Exactly. This is the same thing that we're talking about. Sharon, what is your impression of when it's overkill in our school systems today, and when are we actually looking at a child that could be a potential threat?
All I know is that with Shaquanda, it was always about her mother, and she was never any kind of threat to anyone. Even the lady that testified, the teacher's aide, said she was barely pushed. And it only became a felony because they called her a public servant, which is, I thought, was intended for use with firemen and police officers that were injured in the line of duty. But the way they interpret it in Lamar County, it's a guy that's still in the pothole. If you push him, that's it. It's a felony.
So there literally is a zero tolerance. But I mean, what designation? Well, then how do they explain? And what repercussions is the judge in this case getting? We have a judge here that shortly before that had sentenced a 14-year-old white girl to probation for burning down the family home.
Right.
Were there any repercussions for the judge
that probation,
in this matter?
And was placed on probation again instead of sent. And then finally, the third violation of her probation for the burning down the house, and then she was finally sent to CYC.
So she eventually went in, but she was placed on probation, what, twice?
Twice. Yes, I'm not concerned as about the judge as I am about the school district. It seems like the school district has a tremendous amount of power in this town, and they had so many teachers and administrators come and testify against Shaquanda, with most of them saying that it was the mother they had the concerns about because she filed these complaints and she followed the school rules, state laws, everything, in challenging these write-ups. She didn't do anything out of line. She didn't cause a problem. She followed the guidelines
she was following the rules. She was doing what she was supposed to do, which is the very reason they're saying that Shaquanda was getting into trouble, because according to them, she didn't do what she was supposed to do. So
right.
you're darned if you do and darned if you don't in the school district.
And this school district is even now, along with the county attorney's office, putting out stuff about Shaquanda that I think it just, I haven't done any research yet, but just borderlines on violating the juvenile privacy law.
Wait a minute, you mean the school district is now putting out stuff about her?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they don't, they don't reveal the disciplinary action, but they say things like, if y'all, if people want you, and if the mother would release that she won't, and they've never asked her to, that she's not going to, her disciplinary records are not.
Okay, how do I know if I'm on the air? Okay, listen, I would like somebody to explain the juvenile law.
Excuse me, but we have a
can be sentenced.
We have a caller in the air.
Sentenced to an indeterminate amount of time in the juvenile system. Because people are they're reacting.
And just for your information, that was a caller.
They're reacting and making it seem like Texas is the only place that does that, and that's not true.
No, Texas is not the only place that has indeterminate sentencing for juveniles. But there's a lot of questions that we're raising about the indeterminate sentencing. Not so much about the indeterminate sentencing as we are about the issues about how you get your sentence extended. For example, and I have had this experience with a case over a year ago. One young man who was in TYC got his case extended because he had what they call contraband. Well, it turns out the contraband was five envelopes more than he was supposed to have. Well, he got the envelopes from one of the JCOs, one of the juvenile correction officers. And so my question was, why would you extend his time for that? And eventually we got the young man out. But the problem, I think, with the indeterminate sentencing is that we have not reinforced that system to protect the rights of juveniles so that when their time is extended, it's done on the basis of some due process rights to that particular juvenile. Because as the system works now, it's against the juvenile because they will get another employee even to represent the juvenile at the hearing to extend the time, for example. Now, that makes no sense because that...
Let me ask you something, Representative.
Sure.
Under this kind of this process, which seems totally insane, to be quite honest with you, I mean, we have a school system that is not even saying that it's Shaquanda's fault. They're saying it's the mother's fault, whatever that means. So far, we've heard that it's the mother's fault, but nobody understands why, because the mother has obviously spoken out. So how are we going to fix this? I mean, what is it that we're going to fix? Are we going to close the schools down? Are we going to close the system down? No, but how do we even begin to address something of the magnitude of this?
Well, I think several ways. In the first instance, I think the legislature has to step up. I think we've now gotten a fix, a handle on this pretty well, and I think there are several changes that are going to take place that are already taking place within the system. Certain other statutory changes are taking place within the legislature, within the legislative process, so that now we'll get that fixed. I think some other things have got to happen because I think you've got, as I mentioned earlier, you've got structural changes and cultural changes that have to take place within this agency. I think the structural changes means that we have to somehow or another move these facilities. First of all, I think we need to downsize TYC, which is what's going on, and TYC ought to be the place only for those juveniles who are so incorrigible and have done such heinous crimes that we believe they represent a danger to society. Shaquanda's case, and I think many others like her, don't represent a danger to society, and so they should never be there. We need to make sure that they can't come in. With regard to the school district, however, I think one of the things that I'm planning to do is we're going to take a legislative team up to Paris to probably look and talk and listen to the people there to see whether or not there are things that we need to do from a legislative perspective with regard to Paris Independent School District. I understand there's some 4,000 students in this district. About 40% of them are black. If that's the case, and what I heard early on here was that you have black students being disciplined far more harshly than other students are who have committed the same or similar kinds of offenses. We need to change that. And we can change that, and we will change that.
We have a question here from one of our audience members that is just very insistent. And she's asking, what is the law that would allow a judge to sentence a person to an indeterminate sentence?
Well, that's the law in Texas.
Before they get sentenced.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
They're concerned about what happens before the actual sentencing.
Well, the law in Texas is that when a juvenile is sentenced to the Texas Youth Commission, they're sentenced there until their 21st birthday. And let me tell you what underlies that. What underlies that was the position that juveniles were going to take another tack. In fact, the juvenile code is more related to the family code than it is the criminal code. And the reason for that is our whole emphasis was going to be on rehabilitation of juveniles as opposed to simply incarceration of juveniles. And the whole idea being that, done on paper at least, is that we would keep the juvenile there until we could get a change in that juvenile's behavior so that they don't end up in our adult prison system. Now, that was a theory underlying this whole idea about indeterminate sentence. But as I mentioned ago, it has so many ills and so many things wrong with it that it needs scrapping, and we certainly need to start all over.
Hello, I'd like to ask a question.
Okay.
I appreciate the kind of effort that you have made, Representative Dutton. And I certainly appreciate the power and strength that Ms. Cotton and Ms. Cherry has shown. But it seems to me that there seems to be something that needs to be done with the judge and the district attorney who arbitrarily makes these kinds of legal decisions without anybody being able to hold them accountable. What kind of things can be done in that kind of instance in Texas?
Well, both the district attorney and the judge are both elected members of that community. I think the first thing you have to do is you have to look at an election, and you have to look at, wait a minute, you know, the extent to which district attorneys engage in certain conduct. I mean, most of them have what we call immunity from suit, and so you can't sue the district attorney. The judge also is poked with certain immunity in terms of things, and so the real possibilities exist during election time when these people come up for election. That's really where you can have some say in terms of whether or not that person continues on the bench. And I will tell you that when it comes to juveniles and it comes to justice based on color, that happens not just in Paris, but with far too much frequency throughout the state. And I think that somehow or another, you're right, we've got to begin to do something about it. And I think having people with the strength and character like Ms. Cotton and some of the other folks there in Paris, that's what it's really going to take.
Creola, how is it having Shaquanda back home?
Oh, it's just wonderful having her back home. She had never been away from me until this happened. And
is Shaquanda your only daughter?
Yes.
Your only child?
No, I have a son also. I have a son.
And how is he doing with all of this notoriety?
Oh, he's just happy to have Shaquanda home. I don't
is
think
he in the parent school district also?
Excuse me?
Ms. Cotton, is he in the Paris Independent School District also?
No, he's 18 now.
He's 18, okay.
When he was 16, though, I had to remove him from school because they were trying to do the same thing with him, trying to get him set up for the juvenile system.
Let me ask you something here. A lot of the art newspaper articles and a lot of the events have made mention that you were the problem. What exactly was the problem?
Well, the only problem that they stated was that I filed too many complaints with the school district and the police department, and that I had contacted the Justice Department, which I didn't do that. It was the Board of Education who did that. But that was the only reason. I don't have any kind of criminal record of any kind, no abuse, no drugs, no alcohol, nothing. I have no record. So
but they were upset.
This is
but
the
they
only
were
thing
upset
they could come
you,
up with.
Hello?
But they've been upset at you for some time, I understand, Mr. Cotton.
Yes, we have a caller. Could you please give us your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, my name is Ms. Maria, and I call from Tennessee. I would like to know if Shaquanda is going to get reparation from what she went through. Because to me, it's just scandalous. I am French, and I never heard of such things in my life as far as being sentenced to 7 years in jail for just shoving a whole monitor.
Yeah.
That's just absurd.
Well, thank you, Maria.
Yeah, Maria, it's unfortunate that the state law doesn't provide that. But what it has done is it has lit a fire and a fuse in Texas that I think we haven't begun to see the full explosion of at this point. And I'm hoping that that's where we take this, because I think there's so many things wrong here. There are a number of us in the legislature who've been complaining about a number of these things, and of course they've been sort of hidden, but now the light has shined on them, so they're going to have to face up to them at this point.
Sharon, let me ask you something. Claudia from Argentina would like to ask a question. She wants to know, can there be any civil suits brought up upon the state for violations of civil liberties against Shaquanda or any of the youngsters that are involved in what's happening now?
Certainly that's a possibility.
legal agent was not able to file any lawsuits where there's damages as the main purpose, because we're prohibited to by Congress. But yes, it's possible, certainly.
But certainly, right now is probably a lot very early in the game, I think. And I want to take that back. I do not want to call this a game. When it comes to our children, there is no game involved.
Yeah.
I think that everybody should be held accountable for these actions.
Right.
What's going on with the grand scale of this? This is getting bigger as we speak, isn't it, Representative?
Yes, and I think there are a number of lawyers looking at this situation, trying to ascertain to what extent lawsuits might be available as a remedy, not only to Shaquanda, but to other juveniles within the system. Because in Texas, we've had lots of lawsuits related to the way our systems have operated, including our adult system, including our MHMRA system, including our educational system, and now we're here at our juvenile system. And so I think there are a number of lawyers probably taking a look at this as we speak, and I would expect that there'll be some decisions made here within the next 30 days or so in regards to whether or not lawsuits may be filed in regards to the
Representative, what kind of notoriety is coming out from this? I mean, how big is this getting? I know it's been all over the obviously the Internet, because the Internet has just blown this open. But now it's really getting massive attention in a lot of areas.
Well, this has become, consumed all of Texas at this point. Again, I'm not proud to say that it flashes and it focuses a light on Texas now, that we're not in a good light. We have had this situation happen in regards to a number of other incidents, not the least of which happens to be an adult criminal system, and the fact that we in Texas execute far more people than any other state in the union. In fact, the next two or three states, you could add them together, and they still don't add up to what we do here in Texas. And so it's just really, I mean, it's really taken off, and that's why I want to say to Shaquanda that she's certainly been the mass to live this news.
May I say something? The worst thing that can happen right now is that the spotlight be taken off Paris, because these agencies in the school district are certainly coming out against Shaquanda, and still feel like they were completely right, and the rest of the world gets it, but Paris doesn't get it. And
well, I'd like to know more about that, and if you would you give me a call?
School district and say anything?
Because I think I can put a stop to that immediately.
That would be great.
Yeah, okay. Just give me a call. We can discuss that, because I'd like to know exactly what the heck they're doing.
Okay.
Because they should be doing nothing. They should be trying to educate students. That's what the state law requires them to do.
Right.
Exactly. I mean,
I don't understand what
it seems to me that, as Sharon said, that this is a very powerful school system. I mean, they're really coming down pretty hard on this situation. I don't understand.
Well, they're like most small towns in Texas. The school district happens to be the largest employer in the town, I would imagine.
Right.
I don't know much.
Mm-hmm.
I know more about Paris, France than I know about Paris, Texas. I will admit that. But I can guess that they're probably, if the school district is probably the largest employer in the town, and it exerts that kind of influence in the town.
How large is the town of Paris exactly? I mean, population-wise?
26,000.
4,000
in the county.
Yes.
So it's a pretty close-knit community down there.
I would imagine, yes.
I understand.
And with the medicizing police state, the way things are so quick to be adjudicated in the legal system, by giving people, criminal records, especially over things that are relatively minor once upon a time, I think this curtails people's chances to find and seek honest employment in the future as they grow older. And so my question is, are there any initiatives or efforts to do things such as expunging people's records and that sort of thing? Because I think that's another issue that I think we need to look at here.
Well, Ian, I appreciate your question, Mark. In fact, I have a bill that's pending in the legislature right now that would expunge. And right now, what we're doing is we provide a mechanism to expunge all records of those people who were granted what we call deferred adjudication. Deferred adjudication is a form of probation that when you successfully complete the terms of it, the judge even tells you that, okay, now we're going to dismiss the case and you don't have the conviction. The problem with that is that's not in practice what happens. In practice what happens is people use it against you just as if it were a conviction. And so now what I've done is we have a bill that's pending that will allow that person to expunge that record so that now it will basically go away. And I can't tell you how many prosecutors and people in law enforcement who are arguing against that bill because their whole idea is that it recreates history. I mean, my attitude is that if the judge tells you and the law says it's not supposed to be a conviction, then it shouldn't be there.
You know, Representative, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I'm going to put the responsibility on you in a way that this has to stop. The children of parents, or the children within the system, obviously have to be protected from the system. So we can't allow this to happen to these children, or we're going to have a future generation I think that's a busy signal. I guess one of our callers is having trouble getting through. That's why we have you guys in office.
Well, I take your challenge, and I can tell you there are progressive-minded people in the Texas legislature, despite what some people may hear about us. There are many of us, although we're not in a majority, there are many of us who have been screaming loudly about most of these things, and in fact, when they do come out, they serve to help us in terms of trying to chip away at many of these things that have been in existence in Texas for over the last 100, 200 years in Texas. And so it's been a tough battle, and we accept the challenge, though.
This is going to draw a lot of attention on a lot of the institutions across the United States. This isn't just going to be limited to Texas, because I don't think anybody's going to like all of this. Now that we know, as parents, as educators, as facilitators of organizations, I think it is that people are really going to start to look at these things.
Well, they should, and I think the more light we can shine on it, the more we're likely to have a basis for improving it and changing the hearts and minds of some of these people who have been back in the year 1907, somehow or another. And I think that all over, as you mentioned, all over the nation, and certainly Texas is probably at the forefront, but I think you've got the same kind of systems at play in many of the other states. And again, I hope that this not only helps to improve Texas, but at least does something for all of our children, because I think many of these legislators don't understand that all of these children, you know, some of them are just being children. And you can't criminalize or penalize a child for being a child. But we ought to have adults in the system. We ought to have adults in the system who have been trained well enough to deal with that, so that sometimes when a child needs a stern hand, but also a hug, that person is able to distinguish the difference. And to say to that child, that, look, hold on, there was another way to handle this in Shaquanda's case. I can remember when I was growing up, I accidentally pushed the teacher, and of course my dad took care of that. And that was the end of that. I didn't have to go anywhere, but I never did that again, because mine was intentional.
Taking care of the same thing.
Yeah, mine was intentional, and so that never happened again.
Let me hear, Representative,
sure.
That I think is very important. And I'd like to ask Sharon and Brenda, as activists and as working within the system, Iris from Chicago, Illinois, asks, Why wasn't this case or issue in major media and was in the state prior to other states reporting, and only after online support did it become of interest? Why is that, Sharon and Brenda, can you please tell us why, and Representative, why isn't this bigger than it was? Sharon, would you like to answer that?
Go ahead, Brenda. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, when the incident first happened, we tried talking to everybody that we could talk to, and it was an African-American newspaper in Dallas, but we just, I mean, nobody listened. But when Mr. Witt came down and did the story, for whatever reason, it just got out there, and then the Internet, the blog site, it just blew up. So I can't explain it. I don't know. Because, like it was said before, there are hundreds of Kwanda Cottons here. You know, this is not an isolated incident. But I don't know why. I don't understand why. But we talked about it and talked about it.
Do you think it's because it's a black issue, or may be potentially a black issue?
I think it's because it was a human issue. I think that's why. I don't think it really had anything to do with her being black. It's a human issue. It's a child issue. You know, we want our children taken care of. And it was just outrageous, you know, that was done to her.
Yes, it was, actually. Go ahead, Representative.
Yeah, well, let me put it this way. I think it's racist. I mean, and I hate to admit that because, you know, I've been around a long time. But let me say this. Let me give you an example. I have the media coming to me, in many cases, talking to me about things that are a whole lot less important than other issues. I'll give you one example. We had a death penalty painting display in the capital of Texas. One member who was black decided he was offended by two of the pictures, so he took them down. Well, one of the news reporters comes to me to talk to me about this story, to make it a big deal, and I'm saying, well, ma'am, that's not that big a deal whether that goes up or down. Let me tell you about some of the other things that we're trying to do in this legislature that'll help people. They weren't interested. They simply weren't interested, and I suspect they weren't interested. Well, I think they weren't interested because, again, you know, as my friend said, it's a black thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as my grandson said, it's discrimination.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Yes, it is.
And, Sharon, what do you think? Why do you think it's not reached national attention, and do you think, and should it?
It definitely should, and it should stay in the national media attention, because otherwise nothing will be done. It's just, there's a certain different mentality in Texas that, I mean, it's like the town is putting the blame on her. It's all her fault. It's mother's fault. They just don't treat these children like they're children. And they're much harsher on black adults and children as well. And they just don't seem to understand. They just don't get it. When I read the paper here, that someone was stopped for walking on the wrong side of the street. And I don't even know which is the correct side of the street to walk on, but I've never been stopped for doing that, and I'm white. Then I always know which it's a black male usually, and then they're arrested for whatever. They may find some drugs on them after they consent to the search.
Right.
They always consent, and they're always doing something real, real minor. I don't see those same stops on the white side of town.
And this is Creola. And another thing has been happening, especially with our young men here. They're being stopped without any probable cause, and they're searched, and flashlights are shined down their underwear, which is really humiliating and degrading. And this, we've had a lot of the young men saying that this is happening very often. And I think that is one thing that needs to stop also.
Let me ask you something, Creola. I understand that Shaquanda was actually given some drugs during her incarceration. What was that about?
When she entered the Marlin orientation, they put her on 50 milligrams of Zoloft, and the document states it was for depression. I had asked that they not put her on that because her physician here had given her Zoloft and to try. It didn't agree with her, and it's like I told them, I could have told them that, but they kept her on it anyway, and in August, they upped the milligram to 100 milligrams without advising me or asking me. And this time, after that, she started cutting herself up, and she said the voices was talking to her, telling her to harm herself. She has long scars on her arm. She came to court to a bond hearing, and when she entered the courtroom, her face was all cut up. And her caseworker said she had been found in some closet or something, covered up with a blanket, just clawing up her face. And these things, that medication was really harming her, because it's said, even by the makers of Zoloft, that you don't give that to children.
And she was on 100 milligrams of Zoloft at 14?
Well,
yeah,
she had just
crazy.
Turned 15, but yes, 100 milligrams.
That's
did you ever talk to the doctor in this, Ms. Cotton?
I got to talk to the, finally got to talk to the doctor. Every time I would call, they said he wasn't in. But she wasn't in. But when I finally did get to talk to her, she said that she thought the Zoloft was helping Shaquanda. And I didn't see how it was helping her when it was causing her to do these things. Because after
right.
I filed a complaint, I had to file a complaint to finally get her off the Zoloft, which they took her off in December. About a month after that, I could see the difference in her appearance and in her action. And she said,
well, let me tell you something, Creola, right now. I work in my day job. I work in a medical facility. And 100 milligrams of Zoloft is a heavy-duty dosage of drugs.
Yes.
Now, I don't understand. I do not understand how any situation could supersede drugging a child without the knowledge or the direct approval of the parents. I mean, that's just totally insane.
Yeah,
the parent, the parent
doesn't really have a lot of
say-so
once they're in
TYC. I'm sorry, Sharon, could you speak up just a little bit?
I said once they're in TYC, the parent doesn't have much, if any, say-so at all.
Even with drugs? Even with drugging them?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they...
Well, she had to file a written complaint to get her taken off the drugs, and then what happened next was Shaquanda suddenly wasn't able to call Paris, Texas anymore. She couldn't call anyone in the 903 area code, and it took me calling the lady to get them to even check into it. Because right after the written complaint was filed, she's taken off the drugs, but now she can't call home anymore.
Well,
and,
I have to tell you, Representative, I'm totally amazed by all of this.
Well, it is, and some of it is absolutely amazing to me. I mean, for us to find out some of these things, the way we have had to find them out is absolutely insane, too. I suspect there are a number of people that are going to be indicted over the way the system was run. I would anticipate
that.
Well, I
think that we have to look into also is some of the doctors that are prescribing to 14-year-olds, 100 milligrams of right off the bat. Even to take her into a 50 milligram dosage is a very high dosage.
I can tell you, we'll be taking a look at that too as well. We have not been at all pleased with what we have initially found in so far as children being placed on drugs. The whole system stinks. I'll be honest with you. The whole system stinks. We've had juveniles who were actually actually released from the system, but they were released, but they couldn't go home because TYC made a determination that their home wasn't acceptable. And now I don't know how we had one young man who ended up committing suicide because he was not allowed to go home. And he had to go, they placed him somewhere else that he wasn't able to get home. And as a consequence, this young man committed suicide. And so our whole system needs an overhaul. And I can guarantee you there are a number of us who will be screaming loudly in the legislature about getting that overhaul done.
I know that you said that you were going to be visiting Paris soon.
Yes, we will do that.
And we're going to put the onus of responsibility on you right where it belongs, Representative. That's why we have
you got it.
Government.
Well, you got it. I can guarantee you will.
This has to change, and we're going to be following the internet people. The grassroots operations, the people that are on these programs, the bloggers, we're not letting it go. We've decided that we have to make a lot of noise around here. And
I want to say thanks to every one of them.
Yeah, and Shaquanda needed us. She needed the people in these programs. She needed the cyber world to come to her defense when the real world is failing her.
And thanks to all of the people.
Children.
Thanks to all of the people outside of Texas and inside Texas who have taken a look at this and decided that they would beat the drum for justice so that things like this could happen and could change. I think Texas is on the verge of changing. I have to believe that, and I think that this is one of those instances that will go down in history as one of the incidents that caused Texas to change. And so I thank Shaquanda and her
Hallelujah. Mom.
And all of the bloggers and all of the media.
Just a minute. We're going to be wrapping
sure.
up in just a minute. And before we do, I really would like to have some closing words from each and every one of you. Brenda Cherry, I know you haven't had a lot of opportunity, but please, what are your, in a brief couple of minutes, could you tell us what your goals are for your group and how you're going to be protecting the children in the school systems from any further repercussions?
Well, I'm hoping that maybe some new laws will be changed because the school district is just as corrupt as TYC. And I'm hoping that Mr. Dutton will be coming down and talking to some of the kids here because they're the ones that know best what is happening to them in the school. And we appreciate everybody, and we're just going to keep on doing what we've been doing, trying to protect our kids.
Well, thank you, Brenda Cherry. It's been wonderful having you here, and keep up the good work. Sharon Reinerson, can you please tell us what you see for the future of what's going to happen with the case, not only with Shaquanda, but with the school system?
Well, with the case, the case is still on appeal, and I'm hoping it just gets reversed, period, and no remand for a new trial, just reversed, and then that be the end of it. Also, I'm hoping that her parole is reduced from 12 months, and I'm hoping that the outside world continues to look at Paris, Texas, because if it stops, the rest of the children and the other parents are going to be in the same boat as Shaquanda was in, except worse, because a lot of the powers that be here in Paris, Texas are angry about the unfavorable publicity, and a lot of the other parents I've talked to are afraid to say anything because they're afraid their children will be the next Shaquanda.
Well, let me tell you something, Sharon. Exposure to this kind of is the best thing that we can do. By making it bigger, we can help protect the children even further. This is something that everybody has to know.
Right.
That any time this stuff is allowed to be suppressed, allowed to be put on the back burner, these children are going to reap repercussions. Obviously, if it's happened before, it's what would stop it from happening again? This is some. So for all of you that think this is over. It is not. It's only the beginning, and I think we've just tapped into something very big. So please continue to speak out. Please continue to call for the protection of the children in these areas. This is something that I think that is very important for all of us to do. Creola, can you please tell us what you see, what you would like to see for you and your daughter and your son and your family as a healing episode in this?
Well, one of the main things that I hope that happens is that, like Brenda said, laws are changed, and that this thing won't happen to other kids like it did to Quanda. And if that happens, that would be part of a great healing for us to know that Shaquanda didn't spend this year in TYC in vain.
Amen. Amen. Can we have, would it be all right to put Shaquanda on the line for a moment, Creole? Because
yes.
I'd like to say a couple of things to her.
Hello.
Hi, Shaquanda.
Hello.
It is wonderful having you. I just want to tell you that there are so many supporters in our virtual auditorium, so many callers that we have had that have really, really been devoting a lot of time, a lot of effort to your cause and to your case.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to know that they are supporting you, that they are behind you, and they want you to understand that this is something that we're not going to let go. How do you feel about this, Shaquanda?
Well, now that I can see what's going on, that I feel like I helped a lot of people out. You know, me being, well, Walmart told me that I was there. It had to be a purpose of why I was there. And I think this is why I was there. You know, to help out
other
people.
How are you feeling right now, Shaquanda? Are you feeling better now that you're home? Are you feeling safer?
Yes.
Good, good. I bet you that's an episode you're never going to forget, is it?
No.
Well, Shaquanda,
go right ahead, Representative.
Oh, I was just going to say, Shaquanda, thank you for allowing all of us to participate in your life. And I want to say to you that you are the real heroine in all of this. I mean, you're the person that has made all of this happen. And I can guarantee you that you have had a change in Texas that is going to last for a long, long, long time. And I appreciate you so very much because I know you've endured a lot, but as my dad used to say, God never gives, he always gives his highest test to his best students. And his greatest test always goes to his greatest students. And so you've been a great student here. And you've endured, and you've survived, and you're going to do a whole lot better, and we're going to be there to help. And I guarantee you this won't be the end of it. We're going to make sure that it continues and that we do everything we can to change the whole climate and environment, not only in Paris, Texas, but in all of Texas.
Okay.
And Representative Yu, what is the culmination of your thoughts on this episode?
Well, again, I want to start by thanking Creola Cotton, Shaquanda Cotton, and all of the people in the media who have taken this on their shoulders and said, look, we're going to carry this back to where it should have been, and that's to a place of justice. I want to thank all of them. I think the job for us now is to look forward to try to ensure that all of the help that Shaquanda Cotton needs, first of all, is taken care of so that she can get on with her life and become an extremely productive citizen. I mean, maybe all this will cause Shaquanda to decide that she wants to go into college and be a lawyer, and I think all of the people who are listening and all the people who decided to help ought to help us do that, ought to help make sure she has that. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to follow Shaquanda, and I'm going to be there so that I can provide whatever assistance is necessary. Having said that, I think we've got a number of Shaquanda still left in our system. And so one of the things we've got to do is be vigilant about getting them out of our system and then following up to make sure they get the kind of help. Beyond that, I think my job is to see that we can ensure that this never happens again. I think the kinds of safeguards that have to be in place, we're exploring now and trying to put them in place to make sure that this thing can't happen again. But I think more especially we've got to change the climate and attitude in Texas.
That is the one thing that has led to most of these kinds of things happening. Not only, as I said, in our juvenile justice system, but I think in all of our justice systems. In far too many instances, our system has been more unjust than justice has been provided. And so I think we've got to do that. And I just again want to close by saying thanks to all of the people who were kind enough to send me the blogs and all the emails I got, because I think some of them tried to paint me as a hero, and I wanted to share with them. I don't see that way at all. I think that I'm doing the job of the people who elected me to do, and I think I've got to do a better job, and I think we've all got to do a better job to ensure that our children, number one, are safe, that they don't end up in an environment that caused them to be even victimized even more than they already have. And so I think we got to do a better job, and I promise that my commitment is to do that.
You know, I want to take a minute to thank our guest tonight, Sharon Ryanson, who is the Lone Star legal aide that has been helping Shaquanda with the issue. Brenda Cherry is an activist that has decided to take action in her own hands. And look where this led, Brenda. This is an amazing feat that you have done. Because from speaking out against injustice about one student, you have exposed injustices against hundreds of children that, and who knows, even more, that are languishing in our systems right now.
Yes.
Under barbaric conditions. So congratulations, Brenda. I think you have done a wonderful job. Crayola, mm-hmm. I want to tell you, I can't even think of, as a mother, what you must have suffered watching your daughter be taken away, especially after you have, because a lot of it you knew that it was because you were speaking up. Congratulations. And the most important aspect of all of this is our children,
yes.
Shaquanda. Shaquanda, I want you to know that we all support you, that you are now, you have been placed in a situation now where people are going to benefit from your life. You have made an impact on the lives of already 600 children have been released from these that have been in prison. That is an amazing feat in and of itself. And all of this came because of you, and this is very important.
Yes.
And I want you to know that you should be very proud of your position in this. And I thank you all for being here this evening. Again, the people speak. When the people speak, we make a difference. This is an obvious situation right here. When the people speak, we made a difference. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. And next week, on our regular night of our show, Tuesday night, we have an incredible guest, Mike Farrell, who is the actor who played B.J. Honeycutt on MASH. He's also now an activist and an author, and he's been making the rounds. As a matter of fact, I saw him last week on The O'Reilly Show, and we're looking forward to having him, and I hope all of our guests tonight will listen to us. Thank you all for being with us this evening. It's
Thank
been
you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Shaquanda?
Yes.
Goodbye and good luck, and we're going to keep in touch. We're not going to let you go here.
Okay. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all very much for being here, and thank you for helping a young child get back into the arms of her mother. This has been very inspiring for all of us, I think. Good
thank
work,
you.
People. When the people speak, we make a difference, everybody. And thank you, Representative, so much for being with us.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the city wall, by the relief of the past, I saw my people. And they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering how this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.